No one better to talk about the Suns' prospects for season 2017 than their coach, Rodney Eade, and he joins us on the line now. Good morning, Rocket.
Morning, Rowan. How are you, mate?
Very well. Yourself?
Going all right. A bit hot up here at the moment, buddy.
Yeah? It's pretty sticky this time of year, isn't it?
Oh, humidity yesterday was horrible. We do our own temperature, and it was 37 on the ground yesterday, and humidity was about 95%. It was diabolical.
Have you acclimatised yet? It's been a few years now.
Yes, I've acclimatised. I don't have to run around like the players, but I'm still sweaty here on the track.
All right. Well, look, I could ask you the old perennial, how's everyone looking? But I know you're going to say everyone's fitter than they've ever been. In reality, how's the pre-season gone thus far?
Yeah, I suppose you're talking about the lies us as footy clubs. We tend to say we traded fantastic and everyone's training sensationally. The two biggest stories that come out of clubs, isn't it? But at this stage, I think we're reasonably pleased. We've got a few, only got three or four really in the injury rehab. Most of the guys have been training really well, so we've been pleased where we're at. We had a really good block till Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of hard work. They really did work them hard, but they embraced it and trying with a great deal of enthusiasm. So we, at this stage, think we're in a reasonable spot.
Some of those other teams I mentioned, like Melbourne and St Kilda, probably have a pretty reasonable idea of what their peak can be this year. I'm finding it really hard to get a read on you guys. Do you think you've got a pretty reasonable idea of what they're capable of at their best?
It's obviously blighted a bit by the injuries of 2 years. So I suppose when you look at the best, you look at when you play well, which has been spasmodic for us, to say the least. But with the four new players in and Swallow back, Ablett back, I'd like to think that we can compete with most sides. So I think our best will be okay. Again, it'll be injuries and our depth to be able to cover certain spots if we get injured to the wrong players. But overall, I'm pretty pleased with the way the list looks at the moment and the way they're going about it. So, yeah, we're heading into the season with a great deal of optimism and a great deal of enthusiasm.
I mean, it's hard to... I can't get out of my mind your start to last season when you won those first three games, and fantastic win over in Perth particularly. And you look at that and you think, gee, you know, there's some real talent there. Can they actually string that together on a week-to-week basis? Has that been the biggest challenge, just removing those sort of shocking lows and trying to get a more flat line graph of performance, if you like?
Yeah, I think without, I mean, it is reality, not an excuse. I mean, when you have four or five of your best midfielders out, you're really going to struggle. So you talk about a flat line of even performance, you know, we'd like a reasonable run at that. If we have a reasonable run, we think we can have that even flow of performance, even though we're still a young side. But I think with, you know, our leaders, younger leaders are at a stage now, and you know, Lynch and May and Swallow obviously hasn't played a little bit the last bit, but those sort of players, we think that we've got a good blend of guys who can be consistent with their performance. And I think Lynch has shown that, and May has shown that. So, you know, if we get Gary back on the park, I think that'll be a great fill-up and a great help for our younger players. So to answer your question, yeah, I think we can, but now we're still on that... unknown phase, as you said, as well.
The guys coming onto the list via the trades I find particularly interesting. Pierce Hanley from Brisbane, Jared Witts from Collingwood, Jared Lyons from Adelaide. They're all, I think their best is all pretty high. You know, Hanley, we know how good he can be. Poor season last year. Jared Witts effectively squeezed out of Collingwood by Brody Grundy. Jared Lyons look like a real up-and-comer at Adelaide. Do they, as a block, effectively cancel out the loss of O'Meara and Prestia?
And we've got Barlow as well.
Barlow too, yeah, sorry. That's fully major in, yeah.
Well, I would have thought of what's happened the last 2 years, I think we're way in front because Jager never played.
Yeah.
So people talk about we'll lose Jager, but he hasn't played.
Yeah.
Now, his best is going to be sensational. He's a quality young lad, and if he plays well, and hope he does, and now it's going to be a bonus for Hawthorn. But from our point of view, he hasn't played. Dion, the last 2 years, has only played half a season both years. David Swallow's played six games in 2 years. So our younger gun midfielders, we just haven't had on the park. So if you're just equating apples with apples, we're way in front. You know, Lyons is a durable player who he's trained exceptionally well for us, and obviously had a good season with Adelaide. Barlow, we know what Barlow can do, and Hanley's an A grader, so he had a disappointing year last year, but now we believe that he's very keen to atone for that and be able to play well. So we're really thrilled with the three we've got, who can all play in the midfield and various positions as well. But then you get Swallow and Ablett, you're really getting five recruits or five midfielders that we're getting into the team next year.
There's a lot of experience too, isn't there? I mean, you know, long gone are the days we talk about the, you know, the young Suns and the young Giants. I mean, there's plenty of experience under the belts of those guys that came in with the initial crop. And one thing I always think is that when a side improves dramatically, it's often off the back of those guys who've been around 2 or 3 years and got those 50, 60 games under their belt. Now, we saw the Bulldogs come from 14th 2 years ago to finals next year. That's not an unrealistic goal for you guys, is it?
No, it's not. I think, I know people say it a lot, the competition is very even. I think the draft, salary cap is having its effect eventually, and I think teams are getting better at having better cultures and making better decisions on players and staff. So I think the competition really is evening up. So to come from 14th to finals is not certainly not out of question for any team, and certainly not in our situation. So, now we expect some growth and development of players who are 22, 23, and Saad and Martin, and these type of players with extreme talent, Collar Jasny. But then you get the experience back if, Ablett, and as I said, Swallow, and these players and the guys will get in. If we can get a reasonable run and they're on the park, we're pretty confident we can do well.
New guard with the co-captains, of course, in Steve May and Tom Lynch. How are they settling into the role?
Oh, good. No, they're really pleased and chuffed to be able to share the title. They're really very pleased, I suppose, that they are co-captains. I think just as young guys, Stephen May's come 2 years ago and he got one vote to get into the leadership group. And then, last year...
Was that himself?
No, I don't think so. I don't think he ever thought he had any leadership aspirations. But so he's still learning. Certainly on a big, steep learning curve, but he's very impressive with it. And Tom's the same, being a young player. So... But to share that, I think that'll ease the burden of them as well. But they've embraced it and shown some great shines on the track.
The other side of that coin, of course, is Gary Ablett. And, there's always a lot of talk about Gaz, but I guess just that captaincy mantle being lifted from his shoulders, have you noticed much difference, firstly, how he's training and his demeanour on the track, but also away from the field as well?
Oh, he seems to be in a really, really good headspace. He's real enthusiastic. He's got a smile on his face every day. He, even though he hasn't got the title, he's still talking to players on the track and educating. Both Tom and Stephen have spoken to him about him giving them support, which he's more than gladly was going to do anyway. So haven't seen a drop-off in leadership, if that's the right phrase, but certainly seen a spring in his step. He's really looking forward to a good season. He's done everything so far. His shoulder's still a little bit down in strength in certain motions. But he's doing competitive work. I suppose, albeit in a protective stage. But he's done all the running and everything, so he looks in pretty good shape.
How do you feel about where the club's at in terms of its positioning and developing a fan base? And GWS are a very interesting comparison. I mean, that's always been the concern with them. You know, are enough people in that area of Sydney actually interested? And I guess we might see some benefits of that great finals campaign by them next season in terms of additional members and supporters. It's been a much tougher road for the Suns, I guess. How do you see where the club's at strategically?
It's a good question. I think, having been in Melbourne and then been in Sydney as well, that a lot of it, even if you're an established club, figures and every figure expectation is going to be different for every club, but it depends on the results. You've seen established clubs that go through a rough patch, the membership drops off. So I think here they've got a pretty loyal base. The club's done extremely well in the community and seen as a community club. Does a lot of work in the community with juniors. Queensland as well, generally speaking, are a are a culture of walk up at the gate. Even the Broncos, who's probably, if not one of the most successful teams in Australian sport, only got a membership of about 28,000. So Queensland, by nature, aren't really a membership-based mentality. So the next point I'm going to say, we need to have results. So if we start playing some good footy and start winning games, people will turn up. Hopefully that converts to membership, but certainly it's more about getting numbers on seats at games, which we think will happen by all the hard work we've done underneath.
Do you expect all that support to come locally? I'm just like, you know, Brisbane's only a short distance up the road. Do you expect to pick up many supporters from Brisbane?
No, you wouldn't have thought so. You would have thought that Brisbane people would be supporting Brisbane. We're obviously the coast and then down to northern New South Wales. There's an AFL, south of Coolangatta. There's an AFL. Even down as far as Lismore, there's an AFL bent, I suppose. So I think and I noticed it in Sydney as well, that Sydney people make their mind up whether it's rugby union, rugby league, whether they'll go on the day. And it depends a lot on the weather. And with the good weather here and water, that people can find other things to do. So it's really going to depend on results. So we need to get our act together and be able to win some games.
Just want to ask you a general one about where the game's headed. There has been a lot of talk preceding the last, I reckon, two or three seasons now about how scores would definitely go up. And particularly at the start of last season with rule changes, the rotations coming down, the 10-metre rule forcing more corridor play. And it didn't happen. Scores went up, I think, 2 points per game from the last 2 years to this year. So, in effect, that means the last three seasons have been the lowest scoring we've seen for almost 50 years. You've got to go back to 1968 and before the out of bounds on the full rule was introduced. Now, I know you're a sceptic about this. Are we just resigned from now on to have defensive orientated footy and lower scores?
It's interesting, wasn't it? The scores went up in the first three or four rounds, and I think the AFL wanted to pat themselves on the back for the rule changes. And
some like them.
And then it evened itself out. I think, in general terms, the defensive strategies and mechanisms of teams is fantastic and improving all the time. I do believe that the teams are trying to score. Well, I think 3 or 4 years ago they probably weren't. It was more about rather defend than score. Now it's getting a balance. But because the defensive mechanisms are so good, it makes it difficult. But if you haven't got a bent to try and score, you won't score. So I think the Bulldogs are a good example of that. Now, they're a very good defensive structure, but they do really try and move the ball quickly. But they're only the, I don't know what they were,
12th.
The high-scoring team in the competition, didn't score a lot.
They were 12th.
12th, so they didn't score a lot. But they were seen as playing exciting footy. Now, they did try and score. Now, whether that was personnel or method or whatever, but you can see that they did try and move the ball quickly and get the ball quickly into their forward line. So I think they're the quintessential example about what all the competition's trying to do. They are trying to score, but rotations coming down won't, and other people, and I've said it ad nauseum, it's gone down to whatever it is, 80 or 90, whatever it is, and they bring it down again, it won't increase scoring. They say, people will fatigue. Teams will get more defensive. They'll save their players. And that's, you've got to think of the cause and effect and what will happen if they do bring it down to 60. The only people look at it and say, oh, people get fatigued, so we more score. Well, what about the flip side? You know, get fatigued, so we rest players behind the ball, not in front of the ball.
Yeah.
So they're greater mass, therefore can create, they say, oh, to stop stoppages. Well, I don't think it will, because it'll slow the game down and I reckon it'll create more stoppages. But anyway, that's just my opinion. So I don't think rotations are going to have an effect on scoring per se.
So where do you see the next development going? I mean, I look at the Bulldogs and their use of creative handball, sort of taking it to a new level almost, and their ability to use handball to get out of congestion. Do you think that is the lead that other clubs are now going to follow?
I think there'll be an element of that. I don't think you can just follow on one element. I think the game, you know, has its different focus. Like Hawthorn was probably kicking skills. But that was built on great defence as well. But say they're kicking Bulldogs handball, I think you've probably got to integrate everything. I think you've got to be invented next step. He's become good at defence, good at contest, but also good at handball, good at kicking, and then will not be poor in any of those areas. And then probably the next one is have the speed. I know they're trying to take the speed out of the game, but be able to break lines, be able to split open the team defences that they've got. And that the only way you can do that is either by precise kicking, which is going to be difficult, or it's got to be speed and speed movement of the ball and speed of the player who's carrying the footy. So I think that'll, I think that's an exciting element that may come into the game, to be able to break the game open.
And do you think your squad is capable of delivering that?
Yeah, I think, yeah, we've got some good speed. Yeah, we've got some good speed. We've got some other areas we've got to get right before we can deliver on that consistently and get our defensive right and a few other elements. But certainly, you know, we've got a good balance now with Barlow and Lyons coming in to support Adelaide. There's inside. We've got some good players who can, we've got some speed on the outside.
Great stuff, Rocket. Always good to talk to you. Good luck coping with that heat, and good luck with the Suns next year, and keep slapping on that sunscreen.
Thanks, mate.